Today I want to talk to you about Jesus, the soul winner. How many of you know Jesus was a soul winner? Amen. See, according to research done by Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, only 2% of Christians are involved in sharing their faith. You know, most Christians are terrified by the word evangelism. They feel that they're not qualified or they're not equipped, or most people feel intimidated, or they feel embarrassed to share their faith. See, today I want to talk to you about how easy and how natural it is to share your faith through the study of the life of Jesus. Okay? And at the end of the sermon, we're going to commission believers to the work of evangelism. Amen? So, let's read John chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. Okay? John chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field, for they are already white for the harvest." See, Jesus is talking about the harvest and about the will of God in the context of winning the lost. Amen. If you read the whole chapter, he's talking about how he met a sinful Samaritan woman and how he led her to God and how he spoke to the entire village of Samaria and led them to God. Amen? So he's talking about the harvest in the context of winning souls. Amen? So, you know, when I was growing up, we used to have like a mango tree in the backyard, and all the neighborhood kids, you know, all the naughty ones at least, used to come there, pick up stones, and they used to throw rocks at this fruit, right? So one thing I noticed is like when the fruit is ripe, and it's easy to fall. One stone near the branch is enough to let it fall. But if it's green, it's harder to get it down. Amen? So Jesus is saying, hey guys, the harvest is ripe and ready, right? So when I read that scripture, this is the picture that came to my mind. So one of these geniuses said, hey, why are you guys throwing stones at the tree? Let me climb up the tree. Help me up the tree. I'll climb on the top and I'll shake the tree for you. So we let this genius climb up the tree. He climbed like a monkey to the top. And then he started shaking the tree violently. And you know what happened? All the ripe fruit started to fall down like rain. We got hundreds of mangoes. It was like heaven. You know? So when I think about this verse that the harvest is ripe, that's the image that comes to my mind. If Jesus was here, he would say, Green Bay is ripe and ready for the harvest. If Jesus was here, he would say, Howard is ripe and ready for the harvest. If he would say, De Pere is ready for the harvest. He would say, Appleton is ready for the harvest. That's exactly what Jesus would say. See, many people say, oh, the gospel is not relevant for our modern times. Praise God. It's not stylish to go to church anymore. Let me tell you, my friend, when it gets pitch dark, like it's getting dark in the world today, even a small candlelight becomes relevant. Even a small torchlight becomes contemporary. There's a shaking in the world today, a shaking in the economy, shaking in the Middle East, shaking in our schools, in our political leadership. And I'm telling you, with all the shaking, there is going to be an influx of the harvest. What is going to happen if we don't pick the harvest up? Have you seen these pumpkin patches? You know, some of those pumpkins that are not harvested, what happens to those? They become rotten and slimy, and people step on it and there's flies everywhere. Amen? If the world is getting rotten by the day, if the world is getting slimier by the day, is it the fault of the harvest? Or is it the fault of the harvesters who are asleep? Think about it. Jesus said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. See, in this story of the Samaritan woman, there are two things that stands out for me. Number one, in the entire story of the John chapter 4, Jesus never did one miracle. The entire story, he never did one miracle. All that he did was a small talk with the woman at the well. Amen? And he got the entire village of Samaria saved as a result. Number two thing, second thing I noticed about the story is Jesus used a Samaritan woman who had no prior training or qualification. In fact, she was only Christian for 30 seconds before she started evangelizing her own village. These two things stood out for me in the story. Number one, let's read John chapter 4, verse 4 to 10. Now he had to go through Samaria, and he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. And near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph, Jacob's well was there. And Jesus was tired as he was from the journey and sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" The Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters." Amen? First thing that I want to point to you about Jesus and his style of evangelism, number one, is that Jesus obeyed. Amen? See, those Pharisees and the Levites and the religious leaders of those days, whenever they had to go from Galilee to Jerusalem, they always skirted around Samaria. Nobody would like, all those religious leaders, they avoided Samaria because they do not like Samaritans. They don't associate with Samaritans. They think the Samaritans are, they are ungodly. They are not, true believers or whatever they are. Religious beliefs were, they did not like Samaritans, so they always avoided. It's like you see somebody coming down the road and you don't like him, so you cross the street and walk on the other side. That's how the Pharisees and the Levites did it. So when Jesus said, "Hey, let's go through Samaria," the disciples were like, "What?" Right? What Jesus was doing was he was obeying the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus started his ministry, he started with these words, and Jesus was led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, if you want to be used by God, these are the words that you need to remember. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Obey the inklings of the Holy Spirit. Obey the voice of the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. For those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God, Romans 8:14. Listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, one day God told me, this guy who used to come to my home group, early 20s, God told me to buy a Bible CD from the store and give it to him. And I was like, wow, that's $60-$70, all the whole CD set. And I thought maybe it's the devil, No. It's like, again, God kept impressing me. So I finally went to the store. I spent that $70, whatever, and I bought it and gave it to this kid. And it seems that he doesn't read the Bible, but he listens to something all night long. He likes to listen. So he put the Bible and started to listen to it all night long. You know, of course, he had some challenges with drugs and everything. But I heard recently over the Labor Day weekend that he died in his early 20s. He died of a drug overdose. And his mother called, Sarah was talking to his mother, and she said he used to listen to that word that he gave every night, and she's praying that some seeds fell in his heart. Amen? See, what if I hadn't obeyed the Holy Spirit? See, what is the Holy Spirit telling you? Maybe he's telling you to go and talk to that girl at school who's sitting by herself. Or maybe he's telling you to talk to that coworker who's struggling in her marriage. Or maybe he's telling you to call that person. Some name is being impressed upon your heart. Don't just take it as a casual thing. Call them. Amen? Obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's how you do evangelism. That's how Jesus obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit. See, I heard about this evangelist who preached the gospel, and he was standing by the door shaking everybody's hands. All of a sudden, on the corner of his eye, he caught this young girl who was leaving, and he turned around and said, he just felt that he's drawn to this girl. And she said, a young lady, she said, "Hey, have you accepted Jesus today?" And she said, No, I really liked your message. I really liked the Jesus you're preaching, but my boyfriend doesn't like Jesus. I cannot accept Jesus because my boyfriend doesn't like Jesus. The preacher said, "My friend, your boyfriend doesn't love Jesus, then you got the wrong boyfriend altogether." He tried to talk her into it, and she tried to pull away, and finally, you know, his heart was broken, and she just left. The next day, they heard a commotion out in the street, and come to find out that this girl was involved in an accident, and she died. This girl was at the doorstep of eternity. Whether you're 19 or 90, eternity is not a line that is ahead of you. Eternity is a line that goes parallel to you. You got what I'm saying? Don't think you're 20 and you have 60 more years to live. No, my friend, your eternity is not a line that is way ahead of you. It is parallel to you, just like you're on the highway and you could change lanes anytime. Anybody, whether 2, 20 or 90, could step into eternity this very moment. Amen? That is why, friends, that's why we need to obey the Holy Spirit. You never know why God is telling you to call that person. You never know why God is telling you to reach out to that coworker. You don't know. Maybe they are at the doorstep of eternity. Hallelujah. And that's why we need to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit and listen to what He's telling us to do. Number 2, I found about Jesus was that Jesus loved people. The Holy Spirit is a power behind evangelism. Yes, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit because He's the power behind evangelism. But love is the fuel that fuels the passion for evangelism. Amen? Love is the fuel that fuels the passions for evangelism. See, this woman was a Samaritan. She was a woman. There was cultural barriers. There were traditional barriers. There were theological differences. You know, what if the TMZ or paparazzi took some pictures of Jesus talking to this woman? Man, there were so many issues here. Amen? But Jesus did not see any of those barriers because love breaks down racial barriers. Love breaks down traditional barriers. Love breaks down political barriers. Love breaks down all kinds of barriers and it reaches out to the lost. And Jesus loved this woman. And Jesus, in fact, this is the testimony that Jesus received when he was on earth. Matthew chapter 11 verse 19. He was called the friend of tax collectors and sinners. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad Jesus is a friend of tax collectors and sinners? That's the kind of Jesus we have. Do you think when Jesus was at dinner with the tax collectors and sinners, they were not swearing around him? Huh? There were four little words flying all over the place. Was Jesus offended? Did he get all offended and start quoting scripture at them? No. He knew. Love never cleans fish before it catches it. Amen? He doesn't care. You know, I was listening to the song by Brandon Heath. Listen to the words of the song. I'll read. Just play it. That's better. Yeah, so it says, give me your eyes for just one second. God, give me your eyes that I can see. You know, when I heard the song, I remembered Mark chapter 8, when the blind man came to Jesus, right? And Jesus touched the blind man's eyes and he opened his eyes. It's funny. You know, I just kind of have an imagination about these things. And he opened his eyes and he says, I see men walking like trees. It's like, I'm sure everybody was chuckling, you know. Like, I see men walking like trees. And what did Jesus do? He touched his eyes again. Amen? And then he could see like Jesus could see. See, when we cannot see people the way God sees them, then we need God to touch our eyes again. Maybe you're born again, but people are just a background scenery. If people are just a background scenery like trees or rocks, then God needs to touch our eyes again as we walk through the busy streets of life. We need to see people the way God sees people. What if there was a prostitute in our midst? She was dressed. She was a lady of the street. She's dressed, you know, skimpily and all that. And she's there. And we look at her. And she's the only sinner on earth. She's the only sinner. Everybody else is saved. They are going to heaven. Everybody is good. This is the only sinner. And Jesus is standing here. And I passed the mic to Jesus. And I said, Jesus, would you die and go to do everything that you did and go through the whipping and the cross and the bleeding and all that? Would you do it for this one sinner? What would Jesus do? This is exactly what he would do. I know. I don't have to ask him. I'll tell you, because, you know, in fact, he lives inside of me. I'll just show you exactly what he will do. He would come down from the stage. He would pick up that crying, weeping prostitute who feels like dirt. He would hold her face in his hands and look at her eyes and said a million times over, I would die. I would go through the whipping again and again until all my back is broken and every blood is shed. And I would go through that crucifixion and I would go through the piercing of my heart until every drop of blood in my heart is poured out for a chance for her to know me. That's what Jesus would do. That's how much he values one single soul. Amen? I have a $20 bill in my hands. It's a, you know, and we know there's value. I could take this $20 bill. I could buy, you know, the stuff from the store. And there is an emblem on it. There's a seal on it that shows, you know, who is this? Jackson? President Jackson, right? Some dead president, right? But there is an image on this, and there's a value and a worth for this. What if I crush it? I just crushed it, threw it to the ground. Do you think the worth is less? No? No? I could straighten it up? Yes. Life could have just crumbled you up, thrown you down. People would have crumbled you up, thrown you down. Maybe your own loved ones would have done it to you. They think that you're of no value. But you know what Jesus does? He straightens you up. Amen? Because you are one of his. You've got his image stamped on you. Amen? Or maybe you're living in sin. And you're all slimy and dirty and filthy. Jesus can take you up and clean you up. Amen? You can stand toe to toe to a crisp dollar bill from the bank. You can go to Walmart and you can show both those bills. It would buy the same thing because the value never changed. You are a son when you're living in sin. You're a daughter when you're living in sin. You never stop being a son. The prodigal never stopped being a son. Do you understand what I'm saying? When he came, all that he had to do was straighten him up because he was still a son. And friend, when you see the value that Jesus puts on souls, you will understand what evangelism really is. When we see people like God sees people, then we will understand what evangelism really is. See, Jesus said that the worth and value of one soul is all the wealth of the world put together. Amen? All the money in the bank, all of Bill Gates' wealth, all of Warren Buffett's wealth, all of the oil and the riches of the world cannot, Jesus wouldn't compare that. If you put everything on one part of the scale, Jesus would give more value to that one child in Africa that nobody knows to that all of that wealth. Hallelujah. Amen. I heard about this man who went to Sudan in Africa and he gave his entire life and he just saved 7 people to God. Entire life. Nobody knows him. Nobody knows his name. He died. He was one of the greatest men alive on earth. Nobody knows his name. He saved 7 people to God. You would think that's a failure. Amen? Not in God's eyes. Amen? Even if it's one soul, Bible says there is joy in heaven in the presence of the angels when there's one soul coming to heaven, to back to God. God is rejoicing when the soul sinners are coming back. God is rejoicing when the prodigals are coming back. God is rejoicing when the backsliders are sliding back into the kingdom. God is rejoicing when people are turning from death into life, from darkness into light. God is rejoicing. There's a party in heaven. Hallelujah. You know, third thing I found about Jesus was Jesus connected with people, because connecting is a starting point of evangelism. See, never underestimate the power of one conversation. Jesus won an entire village by starting a simple conversation. Can I have a drink of water? Small talk. Amen? The devil deceived an entire human race by starting a conversation with Eve in the Garden of Eden. We are here because of that small talk. The Eve decided to have with the devil. Amen? Don't underestimate the power of a single conversation. You know, in Green Bay, it's easy to start a conversation, right? Did you see the Packer game with the Vikings? Man, whoa! Man, if that doesn't start a conversation, I don't know what will. In Green Bay, that is. Man, you could talk about the weather. You know, you could talk about, you just have to connect with people. We have to start. Don't underestimate. Don't think, oh, I didn't speak any spiritual things. Did Jesus speak about spiritual things? Did he quote scripture? No, he was just talking regular things with this woman, right? Very soon, she saw the light. She saw the life. She started becoming hungry for what he had. If you don't connect with people, how will they get hungry for what you have? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is. How can they taste if we don't bear the fruits for the world to taste? The only place today that God can be tasted or God can be experienced is through a believer. The fruit that you bear, the connection, the light that you show is the only Jesus the world has on earth to see Jesus. It is through you, through a believer. Right? So, I'm just thinking, you know, there's so many things you can talk about. You can talk about the weather. You know, it rains one day here. The next day it's warm in the upper 70s. The next day there's snow. I'm not kidding you. There's snow outside. You know, some of you men can relate to this. You know, when you come back from work, you're thinking, oh, I don't know what personality my wife will have today. Will she have, you know, it's like the weather, right? The weather is like weird. It does weird things. We, you know. But these are things that you can talk about. Friends, you can talk about your children, your whatever. Women are really good at this. Women are good at connecting with people. Amen? And Jesus connected with this woman. He started to talk to her. See, never underestimate the power of one conversation. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. See, we are called to be witnesses, not salesmen. There is a difference between a witness and a salesman. One witness is better than 100 salesmen. Amen. One witness. My friend, witnessing, a salesman sells the product. A witness is sold out to the product. Amen? The witness is trying to sell you something. A salesman trying to sell you something. A witness is sold out. You know, I was one day, this kid, I think I told you the story, but this kid tried to sell me a vacuum cleaner that caused almost half of my salary, right? So he comes to the door and brings up this vacuum cleaner and tells me what it costs. And I said, what? Is it made of gold? What is it? No way I'm going to buy it, little kid. Go away, right? No, he started telling me how he owns that vacuum cleaner, how he sold that vacuum cleaner to his dad, how he sold the vacuum cleaner to his mom. He believes in that product, that he sold it to his grandfather and one to his grandmother and one to his uncle. He even sold it to his neighbor's dog. And I said, I believe you, kid. I believe you. He was so convincing. He was a witness. Amen. He had an experience, and he was talking to me out of experience. See, witnessing is allowing the gentle rays of God's love shine out of you. That's what witnessing is. You know, at workplace, I have this this lady who's in, sits right next to me, and she had brain surgery, and she and the, our cubicles are faced to the to the to the to the window, and the sun just keeps coming and it keeps bothering her. So she always every day she goes and she lowers the curtain down, you know, the blinds down, and she always apologizes to us and she lowers the blinds down. So I kept seeing that every day she does that, right? And she's embarrassed about it and she's apologetic about it. So what I did was the next day I came early, I lowered the blinds for her. Amen? And when she came in, it was already, you know, set. And but what does that have to do with the gospel? Everything. Amen? That is the gospel, my friend. Amen? I don't have to take the Bible and pound the scripture on her to preach Jesus. I just have to let this light shine. Amen? You just have to let the light shine. Amen? You just have to, that kind word that you speak to the grocery store clerk, they are seeing a glimmer of the light of Jesus. They are seeing a ray of Jesus. They're seeing a light of Jesus in your face, in your life, and they are getting attracted to the gospel. You know, I heard the story about this wind and sun. They had a competition. And they said, okay, whoever can get this guy wearing this jacket, he was wearing a thick jacket. He said, whoever can get this guy take this jacket off is the winner. So the wind said, oh, that's easy. So the wind started to blow hard on this guy. So what did he do? What do you think that he did when the wind is blowing? He held on tighter, right? He held on tighter to the jacket and he couldn't get the wind couldn't do it. He failed. So it was the sun's turn. You know what the sun did? The sun just gently started to shine. And when the sun started shining, you know what happened? The flowers started to bloom. The birds started to sing. And this guy, he looked around. It was a beautiful day. It was a nice warm day. He took his jacket off by himself. Amen? Witnessing is like that. Amen? You don't have to be aggressive and in the face to your coworkers or your. You just have to let the love of God just gently shine through every day. Let it shine through. Amen? And people will start to respond to the gospel. Friends, you know what? I heard the story about this guy, this couple who was trying to witness to their neighbor. Right, and this neighbor had they had a dad who had Alzheimer's and he was sick and the dad was staying with them. They couldn't go out on dates or anything. So this couple said, "Hey, how about we sit with your dad once a month and talk to him and just play games with him, and you guys can go out on a date." Amen. How simple is that, right? You guys good. So this of course this couple was not saved. They don't go to church. They don't know anything about the gospel. So every month they come, play games with the dad. They have fun. This couple can go out on a date. Very soon, one day they sat them down and said, "Why are you guys doing this?" They wanted to know more about it. And they started talking and they shared the gospel. And right there in their living room, both the husband and the wife knelt down and accepted Jesus. Amen? Isn't that amazing? If you just let the love of God just gently shine through. The impact that it can make. Friends, I want three takeaways. I want you to take three takeaways. Number one, don't be a salesman. Be a witness. Don't be the Messiah. Just be the messenger. Some people have this Messiah mentality. Oh, I've got to change. No, you're not the Holy Spirit. Don't try to change people. It's not our job to change people. I always see people that say, oh, until you take those earrings off, or until you take your tattoos off, or until you, you know, take your color of your hair out, or whatever. God is not, don't play Holy Spirit. Amen? Don't try to play Holy Spirit. He is, you are not the Messiah. You are just the messenger. Point to Jesus. That's how you make sure that you always point to Jesus. Don't focus on religion. Focus on relationship with Jesus. Don't try to, you know, talk about, I know it's, you know, we have a great church and all that, but don't try to put the church first. Talk about Jesus first. Because Jesus is ultimately the people who change people. Amen? It's not a denomination. It's not a preacher. It's not. It's Jesus. Talk about Jesus and what he has done for you. And when you talk about Jesus, people's life will be changed. Amen? So I want, let's all stand up. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Evangelism is easy. Can you play some music? I just want to pray for a few minutes. Evangelism is easy. It's something that's natural. If you love people the way God loved people, if you can see people, but Biju, I don't have that compassion for people like you're talking about, then you need to ask God to touch your eyes again until you see people the way God sees people. Hallelujah. Jesus connected with people. Maybe it's a small conversation. Whatever it is, talk to people. Connect with your friends. Don't think that you're so holy that you cannot connect with those friends, who are not walking in the lifestyle that you're walking in. Don't forget those friends. You know, connect with them. Talk to them. You don't have to compromise your faith, but you can always be a light. Don't ignore those friends who are not saved. Connect with them. Because you are probably the only hope, the only Jesus that they will ever meet. You're the only gospel that they will ever read. And you are the only one only fruit that they will ever experience and taste and see how good God is. Maybe today you're here and you are at the doorstep of eternity. You might not even know. I don't care if you're 2 years old, 20, if you're a 90. You might be here and you're at the doorstep of your eternity. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, listen to me carefully. If you don't have peace in your heart, if you don't know that when you die today, if you die today and you stand face to face with Jesus today, that you're not right with God, you're not living right, you don't have the peace of God in your heart, you know you're not saved. If you're one of the person, I want you to lift your hands up, every other eye closed in this building, every Christian believer praying, every eye closed. If you are saying, I need Jesus in my heart, I need Jesus in my heart, I don't have peace with God, I'm backslidden, I don't have any peace with God, I want to get right with God, today is my day, I want to come back to the kingdom. If you are that person, just lift up your hands. I want to pray for you where you are. Hallelujah. Right now, 1, 2, 3, go. Are you right with God? Do you have peace with God? 1. Who else? Don't be ashamed. This is between you and God. This is probably the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. Anybody else? I'll give you 3 more seconds. Okay, let's pray for the people who have lifted their hands up. Let's pray together. Let's pray together as a church. Heavenly Father, I accept you as my Savior and God. I turn away from my sin and I turn towards you. I turn away from the devil and I turn towards you. Thank you for making me your son and writing my name in the book of life. Amen. Amen. Friends, and if you lifted up your hands, please come and talk to one of the pastors or the leaders, and they can help you. I also want to pray for anybody who want to are not confident about their faith, sharing their faith, who want more prayer regarding that. You can come forward. There'll be people here ready to pray with you. I just want to pray a blessing over you guys. I just pray, Father, just bless your people today. This make this a blessed week for them. I pray, Father God, the words that we heard, let it not just be seeds that are sown on a rocky ground, but let it be seeds that are sown on a good ground, Father. Let there be many souls that are born again into the kingdom because of this. I pray, Father, that
you will give us your love for people, that you will give us your passion for people, that we would listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and do the work of the ministry that you called us to, Father. Bless this church, Father. Help make us harvest ready. Help make us harvest ready. Bring forth the laborers into your harvest field, Father. The harvest is ripe and ready for the taking. Green Bay is ripe and ready for the taking. Howard is ripe and ready for the taking. Hallelujah. With all the shaking that's going around in the world, we know there's going to be an influx of souls. We're getting ready, Father. Our spirits are getting ready for the sons and daughters that are going to come into the kingdom, for the prodigals that are going to come home. I pray that there will be love served at our table, that there will be acceptance in our hearts. And Father, there will be no judgment, but there will only be love and acceptance and forgiveness in our hearts as the prodigal sons and daughters will tumble back home. Father, I just pray that there will be a preparation even now, Father, in our hearts, Father, for what is going to happen to the remainder of this year, the harvest that's going to sweep into this church, into our lives, Father God. I thank you for the family members that are going to be saved. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, if you have a family member that needs to be saved, lift up your hands and let's pray together as a church for a minute. Father, I pray for those sons and daughters who are backslidden. I pray for those uncles and aunts. I pray for those brothers and sisters who are not in your kingdom. I pray that this will be the year of visitation upon their lives. I pray that the Holy Spirit will start to open their hearts to the gospel, and like the ripe fruit falling from the tree, let this be the year of visitation for them in the name of Jesus, Father God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for household salvations. I thank you for the salvations that we're going to see over and over again in this altar, that the hundreds of people that are going to come through this altar and get born again. I believe it. I believe it, Father. There will not be room enough in this church. Hallelujah. Let this be a prophetic word over this church, Lord, that this church will be a true light and will preach the pure gospel and will truly quench the thirst of the thirsty. And this church will be so relevant in this dark age and this dark days and these last days that the world will start tumbling in. They will come looking for the light and they will say, these guys really have the true gospel. That they have the gospel that can quench my thirst. They have the gospel that can feed my hungry soul. Father, let that be the word over this church, that they will be so fruitful, they won't have room enough, hallelujah, in this building to catch the souls that are coming in. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, let it be, let it be, let it be, in Jesus' name, amen, hallelujah, amen.
Turn the mic on. The Bible says, I was looking through this as Bijou was speaking, and this is the word that the Apostle Paul spoke, and he asked for a prayer that they would pray for him, and this was the prayer request that the Apostle Paul had. He said, pray for me that wherever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. The Apostle Paul had so many other things that he could ask for prayer. He was in chains. He was in jail. How about, hey, pray that I get out of jail. Hey, pray that they don't beat me anymore. Pray that I don't no longer suffer anymore. Pray that I have a safe passage outside of the city so that I can be free. Those would be right prayer requests. But Paul says, pray for me that wherever or whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Today, I want to pray again as Bijou did over you, that fear would no longer be an issue or a factor for you. that you would speak it fearlessly as you should, as you have opportunity. The Bible says, as you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those who are in the faith. Well, Pastor, I don't know as many Bible verses as you do. You know the same Jesus that I do. Tell your story. Tell how you came to Christ. Tell how you were lost and that you didn't know Christ. But when you came to know Him, your life changed. He healed you. He delivered you. He set your life on a course that would no longer be the same. Tell somebody what it means to be forgiven. Tell somebody what it means to be loved truly. Because the Bible says that He demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners and against Him, Christ died for us. Amen? Speak what you know. And let the Holy Spirit do the work. Amen? Father, this morning, before we dismiss, I lift up to you each and every person in this room that God, you would call them to be an ambassador for you. God, that they would speak fearlessly those things that they have experienced with you and let fear not be a factor in their lives. God, give them a holy boldness to speak your word. God, I ask that they would seek out opportunity to witness, to serve, to love, to extend compassion, to forgive, and to love fearlessly. God, let your word burn in our spirit. Let your heart for the lost burn in our spirit. Give us new eyes so that we can see what you see. And give us your love so that we can love outside ourselves. Give us your forgiveness so that we can forgive the unforgivable. Give us thick skin, Lord. Give us thick skin. Father, so that we're not easily intimidated. Give us the love for the lost, Father. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would begin to hear testimonies of people in this church who says, Pastor, I let a co-worker to Christ the other day. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. Or Pastor, I led one of my students to the Lord the other day, my friends to the Lord the other day. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you, one day there's going to be a sign above the door as you leave. You're entering the mission field. Go and proclaim His name fearlessly. Amen. Amen.